This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February the 12th, 2013, episode 592. As you probably know, Horses in the Morning is now live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of every week, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. Today, we bring you a highlight show from the Horse Radio Network to enjoy. But first, don't forget that tomorrow is our first Wheel of Horse Trivia. We want you to call in about 9:10 a.m. Eastern Time at 347-637-3238, and you'll just have to answer one trivia question. If you get it right, then you'll get to spin the wheel of prizes, and we have a whole hundreds of dollars worth of prizes on that wheel now. A bunch of companies coming forward and donating stuff for you to win. This will happen every Wednesday morning at 9:10. We'll play the Wheel of Trivia. We're going to take a bunch of calls. We're going to give away a couple of things every morning, depending on how long it takes to find a right answer to the trivia questions. And you can call every week. Encourage your friends to give a call, too. Why not? Win free stuff. So tune in tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Give us a call at 9:10 at 347-637-3238 for the Wheel of Horse Trivia, and you're going to have some fun with it and hopefully win something really cool. That'll happen every Wednesday. Well, today's feature episode is the driving radio show from last week. Wendy and I had a good time recording that for you, and we thought you'd enjoy it here on Horses in the Morning. And the reason is we did a show called Driving with Our Listeners, where we got three of our listeners to the show to come on and tell us about their lives. We talked a little bit about ski-jorning. We had a 16-year-old by the name of Angel come on and talk about her mini chief that she competes. And, you know, we got into a whole bunch of different stuff. So it was a fun episode. We also had a traditional Chinese medicine update from Dr. Wendy about hives. I think you're going to enjoy that, too, and you might learn a little. So all of that is coming up right now on Horses in the Morning. We'll see you tomorrow morning live for the Wheel of Horse Trivia. This is Glenn the Geek.
And I'm Wendy Ying, and you're listening to the Driving Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Well, howdy, Wendy.
Hi, Glenn. How's it going?
Good. We got to spend a weekend together, didn't we?
We did. We had so much fun up in Ocala, the Florida Horse Park.
Yep, for the Sunshine State, right?
Sunshine State CDE is our first biggie of the season. So there were some people from all over the country up there showing, and some of our top people, and our national team coach, Michael Freund, was there training some of the pony and pair hopefuls. And then Peter Tischer was up there training some developing drivers. So we got to interview a lot of the people on last week's show, and we had a great time.
Yes, we did have a good time, and we'll talk a little bit more about the results of that in just a minute. First, I want to tell everybody that on this week's show, we have something special that we haven't done before here on the Driving Radio Show, and that's we're going to be talking to nothing but listeners today. We have three of our listeners that we contacted. We knew they listened through Facebook, and we contacted them and said, would you like to come on? You know, I think it's going to be fun learning a little bit about the people who listen to the show every week.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's great to hear, you know, what other people do with their horses, and then it gives us great ideas for topics that you guys want to hear about. So I think this is going to be fun. I can't wait.
And we don't know much about these people, so we're going to be learning with you. We know what we can see on Facebook, but other than that, we don't know much. So hopefully we'll all, be surprised together at some of the things that we find out today from our listeners. And we have them from all over the country, from Oregon, from Texas, Wisconsin. That's right. Yeah. So they're from all over the place. And we even have a 15-year-old. Remember how we always talk about wanting to get kids into driving and we need more of them? Well, we have one of them today. So, and she started this by herself. So we're going to find out more about her. But first, we have to mention the American Driving Society. Susie is busy this week, so it's just Wendy and I. But don't forget to stop by AmericanDrivingSociety.org. You can find out. Well, matter of fact, we were talking today about something, weren't we, Wendy? And you said, oh, I got to get on the American Driving Society page because you were looking up a time for an upcoming show. And, you know, they are in charge of the omnibus, and that's something that we don't talk about very often.
Yeah, and the omnibus is our, like, full schedule of ADS-recognized competitions. And it gives you the, like, the organizer of the show have to get their results in, their schedule in 6 months beforehand to get it into the current omnibus. But also online, you can see the whole year competition. You just click on the link, and then it tells you who's judging, who's organizing, where it is, and what day. Like, for me, I only care what day marathon is. I don't want to watch the other stuff. But, you know, now I have to find out what time I have to get on Randy's carriage, what day I have to get on Randy's carriage for dressage. So it can tell you the schedule, and the dressage test. It also gives you which dressage test you'll be driving at the show, which is very important to find out before you get there.
That's right. And if you want to find a show in your area, that's probably one of the best ways to do it, is to hop on there and see what shows are going to be in your area. If you want to go watch one or you want to participate in one. But, you know, if you're just a casual driver who just wants to go see a CDE or a trials, then just hop on to the AmericanDrivingSociety.org website and check out the omnibus. That's probably the best way to do it. Well, we're going to get to our first guest here, Wendy, and then I want to hear about how your horsey and you did over the weekend at Sunshine State. But first, let's talk to our first listener, and we have with us Angel. Her name is Angelina McIntyre. So we're going to get Angel on, and we're going to talk a little bit about her and her mini. Well, hi, Angel, and welcome to the Driving Radio Show.
Hi.
Hey, I did look, by the way. I checked every show that we have done, all 2,500 episodes here on the Horse Radio Network, and we have never had an angel on the show before. So you're the first.
Well, that's what a lot of people say.
So tell us about how you got into driving. How old are you, by the way?
15.
So how did you get into driving?
Well, when we moved out of the city and we got a 3-acre, I think, property. And so we didn't have enough room for big horses, so my parents decided to get me a little horse.
Ah.
And so then we decided, you know, he's got to have a job. So we decided to start driving.
And he's a rescue, right? Your little guy, Chief?
Yep, he's a rescue.
So what's his story? Tell us how you found him.
Well, actually, my mom found him. We were kind of hunting around for a good horse for me, and she saw this mini on the internet that was advertised as a kid's horse, and so we decided to go look at him, and he was not a kid's horse.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah. He was 100 to 150 pounds underweight.
Oh. A mini?
Yeah, and he only weighs 275 right now.
Wow.
Did he bite and kick?
Yeah, he bit and he kicked, and he was just ill-mannered, like, really bad.
So you had to have him.
See, I was going to say, well, how'd you end up with this little monster?
Well, you know, he was just so cute, and I thought he would be perfect, and it's a good thing we got him.
He is cute.
So now what happened then? Why did your mom ever agree to this, buying this little monster pony?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I thought it was great when I first got him, but now a couple of years later, I'm looking back on it going, why in the world?
I know, because look, he's Palomino, he's a cute little Arab face, like, and he's needy, he's a needy boy.
Yes, so. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, you had him pegged, Wendy.
Yeah, I know, that's how girls are. That's how we buy horses. They're adorable, I need them.
That's right, it's cute, I don't care if it'll bite my face off, I want it.
I'll train it.
So he didn't.
Oh, go
he
ahead.
Wasn't really mean. He was scared.
Yeah.
And he had no manners, so he was trying. He would try and get me to play, and he actually did kick me a couple of times because he was just trying to get me to play.
Was he still a stallion when you bought him?
No, he had been gelded about a month earlier, and that's a sad story, too. They used him as a roping dummy.
Oh.
Oh, what?
Like, they used him like those fake cows they use. And so they gelded him without anesthesia or anything.
Feeling bad. Guy, he was traumatized.
Yeah, he was. Still is. Working on that. And, yeah, that was not very good way to do it, especially since he's extremely high-strung.
Yeah. And then when you got him home, how did you teach him to drive? Did you already know how to drive, or did you guys learn together, or what?
Well, we did the forbidden green rider, green horse thing.
I have a song for that.
And so we found a club and we found a trainer who would train us. And she actually started him after we'd had him for about 6 months because he knew nothing. He didn't halter train. He wasn't anything. He didn't know how to do anything. And so she started him for us. And then it took 6 months of ground driving to get him in the cart.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then a year of being in the cart before he actually started to settle.
That's kind of scary, even with the little guys, when they're standing straight up in the cart, isn't there? Isn't it?
Well, he never really reared or did much of any of that kind of thing. He just wanted to go. Never stop going.
Now, how did you learn to drive? Because you're brand new at all this too, right?
Yeah, the trainer who trained him, her name is Christy Fosback. She trained him, and she had a already well-trained horse, and I got to drive the well-trained horse while she was training mine. And so that's how I learned to drive.
Ah, okay, got it. Because I'm seeing a picture of you driving through what looks like an obstacle in water. Are you competing with this little guy now?
Yeah, we've been competing for about 4 years. We went to HAPS before it closed down, and we've gone to Innovale. That was where the picture in the water was taken.
Ah, okay. So is that your goal, was to do combined driving?
Not at first. I was just really happy to have a horse. I was only like 10, so, you know. But then now we compete as often as we can. And we go to ADTs and stuff.
Are you the only one of your age there with a mini like this competing?
Well, it depends on the show, but most of the time there's only me and maybe one or two others.
See, Wendy, we kept saying on this show that we need more kids involved. Here's Angel doing it.
I know. It's great. Great to see you out there. And especially, it's really neat that you started with him when you were only 10 years old.
Okay, by the way, Wendy, what is that? Did you get a new bird or something?
I almost wanted to stop and go out there and yell at this seagull. I have this seagull that's sitting out here in this tree just screaming at another seagull. They're fighting over something. I don't know what. I was laughing about that, and I thought they'd go away soon, but it won't go away.
Only on our show, Angel, would you have a seagull. wanting to get in on it.
That pine tree, the big pine tree.
That's
Kyle's going to go throw a rock at it.
Oh, good.
No, that's not politically correct. And you know what? He'll never hit it.
don't forget her little dog that puts his opinion in every once in a while.
That's true.
Yeah, take Rolly out there with you.
That's funny. Sorry about that, Angel.
That's fine.
See, it's summertime down here in Florida, so we get to have our windows open. That's why you can hear the seagull. Are you sitting out by the pool doing this interview, Wendy?
Yeah, I'm out by the pool.
No, don't tell Angel that. She's probably freezing up there.
That's my office.
It's actually actually sunny today, so not as bad as it could be.
So now, so have you grown to love this little guy now after all this time? Has Chief grown on you?
Yes. Well, I already loved him when I got him, but, you know. And, yeah, he's the best. I love him.
Now, have you gotten any others? Is Chief your only one at this point?
Chief is mine, and my parents each have one now.
Minis?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
A mini.
You know what that means? Unicorn time.
No. Well, I tried putting Chief in a pair once, and he is so competitive. It's crazy.
Yeah, you can't put him in the pair. You have to put him in the lead. So he looks pretty. And then the other ones are just his My Pretty Pony accessories.
Do you know?
Actually, I was thinking of putting him in a tandem should I ever get the equipment.
Yeah, that tandem's the best. He'll be an awesome tandem leader.
I am really impressed. You have listened to the show. She knows what a tandem is, and she's 15 years old. I am really impressed.
That's right.
So now, do you hope to go on eventually here and get a horse and upgrade, or are you going to stick with the minis?
Well, personally, I think he's pretty awesome upgrade. But I'm probably not going to get a big horse until I get my own place and stuff, so not for a while.
Do you hope to go to school for horse things, or you hope to do something in the horse world for a living?
Well, I want to become a hippotherapist, which is like a physical therapist, but they use the horses to help the people.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
Well, that's terrific.
Maybe Chief can be your therapy animal.
Yeah, maybe by that time he'll have calmed down enough where I can trust him with other people.
Because I guess biting their little kids is probably not good.
It's probably not good.
Well, he doesn't bite or kick or paw anymore. But he's just so high-strung, and he likes to go so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good when you're doing marathon, isn't it?
Yes. Although he does have attitude problems when you, like, don't give him breakfast before a show.
I do, too. I do, too, Angel. Jennifer has to give me breakfast before a show, too.
Well, you know, some mornings they just don't work out and you don't get out to the barn in time before the show to feed the horse. And then your whole world goes upside down because he's grumpy.
Yeah, well, he's teaching you a lesson. He's just training you, Angel.
Yeah, yeah. It only happened once.
Yeah, I bet it did. See, he trained you.
Yeah, he's like, you try to get breakfast.
He taught you, don't ever do that again or I'll be bad.
Well, you know what? He's probably like that because he was so skinny, like that because he didn't get fed sometimes.
Well, when we got him, he would eat his straw. But these days, we give him fairly good quality hay, but he picks it. He picks through it, and then he leaves the stuff he doesn't want. Yeah.
Now he's picky because he gets enough to eat.
Yeah.
Well, Angel, we wish you the best of luck with this little guy. I'm so glad that you wrote on our page. We really appreciate that, and we were able to get a hold of you. Do you mind if I use the picture you posted on our Facebook page?
Nope.
Okay, don't great. Mind. That's terrific. Well, thank you, Angel, and we'll talk to you again and keep on listening.
All right.
So, Wendy, what happened with the bird? What was that, anyway?
It was this seagull or something. That was... Like, it flew over, and it was sitting in this tree and fighting with some other bird in the yard, squawking, and I kept thinking it was going to go away, and it just sat there screaming for the whole interview.
We've had dogs, we've had horses, we've had cows. I don't think we've ever had a really pissed off seagull before.
I know, and Kyle had to go out there and throw oranges at it, and finally scared it away.
I thought you got a parrot or something.
It sounded like a parrot.
Yeah, it did. It was really loud.
Wow. So sorry, everybody. I'm sorry to the trials of life going on in my backyard.
That's a first. That is a first, I got to say. Well, let's chat a little bit before we get to our next listener interview. Let's chat a little bit about the weekend. You're our good friend, Judy Fryer. And your horse, Dante, participated, and after dressage, it was looking like, I could tell she was kind of bummed.
Well, you know, she was in sixth place, but she was not that far out of first, because she got a 53 in dressage, which is a good dressage score. And she's only driven Dante a couple times. And this is her second show with him. And she was only 6 points out of first, I think. The winner of dressage was Joe Delfino, who his daughter Fee is one of our listeners. And she... But anyways, Joe drives this Morgan, and
what division was it, Wendy?
Oh, prelim single horse.
Okay.
And he's always pretty hard to catch because he's fast on marathon too. And Judy, and actually we all went to dinner the day before marathon. We all went to this great Italian place because they're very good friends. And then they had it like, you know, they were fighting it out on marathon, and Judy ended up winning the marathon. And Joe was right behind her. So then they went into cones, first and second, and they were only 0.2 penalty points apart. And a cone is 3 penalty points. So she couldn't knock a ball, and she couldn't get any time penalties.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so it was very exciting going into cones. And she ended up getting a double clear.
Congratulations. You must be so proud of being the horsey mommy.
I was really proud, but I tell you, I get so nervous watching other people drive. Like, driving myself is not so bad, but like watching Judy drive, I was like, before cones, I was like in a panic, and I had to just walk away. Because thankfully, Keedy Cadwell, our trainer, was with Judy warming her up so that my like nervous energy didn't affect her.
Now, what did... how did you do? You tell everybody what you did over the weekend.
Oh, well, we've had Randy Cadwell on a few times before, and we follow her little pony Kabam. He was in the advanced single pony division, and she had a great dressage test. And she ended up in third after dressage, and then I think she was second or third. She was second on marathon, and then... we went into cones, and she stayed in third. So Kabam sometimes is a little bit wild. He's a little exuberant, like Angel was talking about Chief. So he's not always so easy to steer. She did a great job holding him together, and Kabam's ultimate goal is to go in the pair. So this was like his last show schooling as a single.
Ah, gotcha.
And Randy is well known for winning the gold medal at the World Championships a couple years ago with a pony pair, Palomino pair. So this will be her second Palomino pair.
I was a little concerned, and we didn't get to stay and watch you go because you were later on in the day. But I was a little concerned because you're the navigator, and you didn't seem to know your way around a lot of the obstacles. So
I knew generally.
How'd it go?
No, it went great. I mean, I did know the course. It's just sometimes I don't always know what order the hazards are going to be in. And when you and I are watching, we're watching the preliminary people go. And so they don't do all the gates that we do. So I try not to really watch where they're going.
That does mess you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, because like, say, the best route in the water was to go through gate E a couple times. And because gate E to them is dead. They don't have to go through that. So that's an open gap for them. But for us, if we go through E, we either eliminate ourselves, or if we correct our course, we get 20 penalties. And like I said, it's won and lost on 0.2 penalties. So 20 penalties, you're out.
We were with some people over the weekend that were there watching that for the first time, and they made the same comment I think everybody does when they go and watch marathon for the first time, is how can you remember all of those different obstacles and gates and all the obstacles and not get them wrong? That amazes me every time I go.
It's tough, and that's why it's great to have a navigator, because and also the way Randy and I work together, because she's navigated for me when I was driving team, and we just have this kind of running commentary. So when we walk the hazards first, like we walk them a lot on foot, and we have a little story that we tell ourselves, like, okay, I'm going to go down here, I'm going to go around this tree, I'm going to go this. Like we sometimes have, and we know where each other, like I know where she says, oh, I keep feeling like I want to go right when I know we have to go left here. So I just keep this running commentary going so she knows that she's going the right way. I don't wait until we've made a mistake.
But I guess you do. I mean, it does help that when you learn each other and you learn what the other person's going to do and how they're thinking, that's got to help after you've done it for some time together.
Yeah, and that's what's great is I really haven't navigated for her very long, but she navigated for me for a whole year. And with the team, I mean, God, I'm going so slow with the team there. Anyway, we have tons of time to develop our strategy.
Well, that sounds terrific. I'm glad you guys had a great time. It's certainly a beautiful weather down here in Florida for a show. When's the next one?
Our next show coming up is Little Everglades CDE in Dade City. And that also is a qualifier for the FEI pair horses and all of the ponies. And so it's going to be pretty exciting leading up into that one. That course is actually incredibly beautiful, and the hazards are very easy to see. You can see all the hazards from this area that's kind of fenced in, and so the hazards run along this fence, and people set up tailgates, and there's food. It's a little festival going on, so that's a really a great CDE to go watch if you want to come out and watch, and that's about 20 minutes from Tampa.
Very good. And of course, I think Live Oak is the next one after that then.
Oh yeah. Live Oak, which is our, you know, one of our best shows of the year. That's in Ocala, right near your house.
Yep. Not too
and
far.
And that's going to be at the Live Oak Stud, which is a home of Chester Weber. And it's a beautiful facility, and the hazards there are also great. And they'll have show jumping there this year as well.
Very good. Well, let's get to our next listener, and we have coming up next Kimberly Cameron, who is going to tell us all about how she got into driving and ski-joring. Let's talk about that. She's from Wisconsin.
Well, hi, Kimberly, and welcome to the Driving Radio Show.
Hello.
Well, Kimberly, where do you live, and what kind of horse do you have? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm in Wisconsin, southeastern, a city called Kansasville, and my horse is a Dutch harness horse cross. He's 5.
And what's his name?
Willie.
Oh, and you sent us a picture of you skijoring behind him, right?
Yeah, I did that yesterday. We finally got enough snow to do things, be able to play with.
And so was yesterday the first time you've ever done this, or have you done it before?
No, I did it a few years ago. We haven't had good snow years the last couple of years. And then I did it previously with my other horse.
And I like the setup you have. You have him in a full collar and his saddle. And then you have your traces tied to a rope. And then the rope is tied to a broom handle or something, I assume?
Exactly. Yep.
And then you're driving him with your reins.
Mm-hmm.
So did you
it's
come up...
a little tricky. I saw pictures and I tried to replicate it, but, you know, being able to steer and hold on at the same time, it's a little tricky. So, you know, and it's physically taxing on your arms, too, to be pulled by the horse through the snow.
It looks like it. It looks like it'd be kind of like water skiing in a way where you have all this friction, or like the old-fashioned rope toes that used to pull you up the mountain.
Exactly. Yeah. I think if I had groomed snow, it might be a little easier, but I don't. So.
Yeah. And was he hard to steer with one hand and then hold on with the other hand?
It was okay. You know, the faster you go, the faster you get whipped around in the back. So it just depends. But I think a horse that listens is pretty necessary for something like that, because you don't have traction to pull back to stop, obviously, because you're on ski.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
I didn't think about that either. But you could end up on your butt.
I mean, you could just let go at that point. But
right. And what did Willie think about it the first time? Well, what did Willie think about it when you did this? Was he scared, or
He's pretty tolerant, but we do lots of things that, like, I pull the arena drag with him, and that's a good de-spooking, desensitizing, because that's pretty loud, and I do it with an open bridle, so he's used to crazy things.
Oh, wow. That is crazy. So what do you do with Willie in the springtime, or when you don't have snow on the ground?
drive recreationally is nice, but also we do pleasure shows and CDEs, trail riding, you know, so lots of things. Trick training also.
Oh, really? What tricks can he do?
He can sit. He can walk on a balance beam. He can paint. He can fetch.
Really? You know,
whatever. Yeah, Yeah, it was fun when he was younger to try to teach him things to keep his mind occupied and teach him how to learn and teach me how to teach. And I really enjoy it. I hadn't had experience in the past with trick stuff, so I've enjoyed working with that.
We've had several guests on that have done trick training. What method did you use? Did you use a reward or?
Yeah, I have a clicker and I have a fanny pack with treats in it that I dole out because, you know, he's more interested if there's a motivation in it for him. But the reward too, like, I like when he gets it. I like that moment where you can see, you know, he understands, oh, this is what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we've had Shauna Koresh as a friend of ours who, of course, brought clicker training over to the horse world from SeaWorld. And my wife does clicker training all the time. She loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice because there's instantaneous. They can hear, like, that's it right there, you know.
So did you have the clicker along? You could see she couldn't bring the clicker along when she was ski joring because her gloves were too thick, Wendy.
No, and you need another hand.
You need another hand.
Yeah. Only so many of those.
So now you said you compete CDEs too?
I do. We've done one full CDE, and we've done some horse driving trials because last year, you know, he was 5. He's about to turn 6. So we're hoping to bump it up a little, but there's only one that's fairly close. And after that, the rest are, you know, 5, 6, 7 plus hour drives away. So.
And now you said that you started clicker training when he was young. How old was he when you got him?
A long 2.5-year-old.
So, oh, so you guys have been together for a long time then.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you always a driver or?
I started driving commercially in the city of Chicago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you were a livery driver, huh?
I was. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, got a passion for horses and especially for driving through that. And then, you know, now I do it for hobby rather than employment.
We've done a couple of shows because, of course, there's a huge outcry now to get them taken out of New York City, the livery drivers. And we've done a couple of shows on it, from both sides. I assume that, you know, what are your thoughts?
When I worked for the company in Chicago, I thought that it was a very reputable company that took good care of their horses because it was within their best interest to have them performing well and being healthy. And they had a farm outside of the city that they would rotate the horses out to for vacations and then, of course, during the slow season. And, you know, we as drivers took pride in our animals and, you know, made sure our harness was clean and our carriages were clean. And, you know, you spent many, many hours with your horse. So you developed quite a bond. And I really enjoyed the experiences I had. And I learned so much from the animals just from, you know, being out there and doing it, especially in a city environment where you have all kinds of hazards and spooky things. You know, it's quite an experience to have had.
How much training do you get, or do they just throw you up there and give you the reins?
Well, when I did it, I did 10 separate days, and, you know, the shifts were considerably long. Like, you might be out there for 8 hours, and then you have, you know, a couple hours of prep time and an hour at the end to put everything away, you know, feed your horse, groom your horse. So you might be spending 10 hours, so, you know, I'd say under 100 hours, but a fair amount of time. And then the city required you to take a test with them, and you had to have, like, your driving abstract, like a clean driving record and that sort of thing. We had chauffeur's license.
Do you make any money?
It depended. During Christmas season was fairly good, and during the summer was fairly good, but there were no benefits, so it wasn't a good career to employ. But when I was younger, it was a fun job to be outside and, you know, be behind a horse.
Yeah.
It's a typical horse job. It's really fun.
Right.
You don't get paid.
That's
and
right.
Really long hours and get dirty and lift heavy things.
The company I worked for was nice because we not only had vis-a-vis, we had antiques. Like, we drove Brohms, we had 5-glass Landaus, we had Paul Bearer's carriages and Rockaways. So that was quite an experience too, because I didn't know anything getting into it, but now to know the antiques and the value of some of these carriages that were just being utilized on the streets for people, it was a nice experience.
What's one of the memories that you still remember of either a customer that was there? There had to be something that sticks in your mind right away, or that you still tell at Christmas.
Well, there's some reasons why we would carry whips that didn't involve the horses, but maybe those are not best to be told online. You know, some of the parades were interesting, although parades are a lot of hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
We were able to work on some films and some TV shows, and so that was kind of fun. But, you know, just my favorite thing, going down Lakeshore Drive, you know, watching the fireworks go off a Navy Pier, going up Astor Street, which has a lot of mansions, or you could go into the city's parks and drive around. So it was just a good time.
You know, other than being the murder capital of the world, Chicago is one of my favorite cities right now. You know, it always has been. I always thought Chicago was kind of a cool city.
I think it's Gary, not Chicago, actually.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah, it's the suburbs.
As long as you stay in the city, you'll be safe, Glenn.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, this has been great. Thank you. I know you have to run to go to work. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And good luck with Willie.
Do you have a company in the horse world? Are you looking to get the word out about your products, services, or shows? At the Horse Radio Network, we understand our advertisers need to reach the equestrian consumer in the most efficient, cost-effective way possible. Internet radio shows like this one, also called podcasts, allow the flexibility and creativity to craft unique messages that stand out from the herd and reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. If you want to learn more about advertising on this show or any of our shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact our account manager, Lisa, at 847-790-4476. That's Lisa at 847-970-4476, or you can drop her an email at lisa@horseradionetwork.com. Our listeners are terrific, engaged, and avid horse people, the ones that you are looking for.
Well, I know ski joring is still on your bucket list.
I know. I definitely want to do it.
I know it is. Well, the only time I've ever driven in the city, she was talking about driving in Chicago there. The only time I've ever driven in the city was Philadelphia during we had to park in a spot and then head to a park for a drive for the Lancaster Carriage Club.
You drove your pony in the city?
We drove the pony. We parked and we had to go through a couple of city intersections with the red lights and, you know, getting into the left turn lane, and there's cars and trucks and people and noise, and it was just terrific. Didn't have any trouble at all. Some of them did. Some of them ran the red light, but that was interesting. That was fun. There's a long park. There's a linear park in Philadelphia, and that's where they used to hold that drive, was in this linear park that was miles long.
Oh, I've seen that. And the road goes over it, right?
Yes. Yep.
And doesn't it end at that place where the Rocky runs up the steps?
No, I think, I don't know. We weren't at that part if it does. But one of the fun things is my pony was about the same size as this other guy in the club, and he had about the same carriage and everything. And his pony looked exactly like mine. They look like bookends. And this park is really long, and it's like maybe a lane and a half wide. Mm-hmm. And it's just long, and there was nobody in the back part of this. So we had a race. It was the first time and only time I've ever raced. And my pony was a racing pony. So it was fun. We had a blast. It probably wasn't the safest thing, but those two ponies loved it.
Oh, good.
They loved it. So let's talk to Robin Donahue, who's an avid listener to a bunch of the shows, including Horses in the Morning and the Driving Radio Show. And she hails out of Texas. Let's find out about her. Well, hi, Robin. It's good to talk to you and have you on the Driving Radio Show.
Thank you for the invite. It's good to talk to you both.
We see you popping up all the time on Facebook and various places, and we appreciate you listening. And I know that you're a driver. How did you get into driving?
Craigslist.
No,
that evil Craigslist. I saw an ad on Craigslist from a lady that goes up to the Amish country and buys horses from the Amish that they don't need anymore or aren't using anymore, and she resells them.
And you said, I'm going to get myself an Amish driving horse?
That's basically what I did. I drove 3 hours one way to go look at a mare, and ended up bringing her home the same day.
Wow. You know, I did the same thing, Wendy. My first pony, driving ponies, were all from the Amish.
That's true. Yeah. But Robin, when you say you went to look, you just happened to take the horse trailer with you? So that's not technically looking.
Yeah, I went to look with my four-horse straight load horse trailer. And because I needed a buggy too, and they sold buggies, I also rented a utility trailer, and my husband drove his vehicle. So yeah, we went to quote unquote look.
Well, you did good. You only came home with one. You had a 4-horse trailer.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true.
But the husband was the husband was there.
That's true. So you got your carriage and your horse and everything all at the same time?
All at the same time, and come to find out a little while later, the trainer I ended up working with, he was very glad that I hadn't died yet driving that buggy, because the wheels were extremely loose, and apparently for my mare, who is a 3/4 standardbred quarter draft mare, the shafts, he said, were pony size. And he actually said, see where this paint is rubbing off here on the inside of the shafts where they're rubbing on your horse? I said, uh-huh. He said, that's not supposed to happen. He said, you have a really nice horse to let you drive her in this.
What kind of carriage was it?
I actually still have it. I just have new shafts, and he fixed the wheels up for me. It is, it's an Amish buggy. It doesn't have the roof on it, but yeah. It's got one bench seat in the front. It's all wood except for, like, the driver's seat is made out of, I guess, fiberglass. And then there's two seats in the back that face each other.
Great.
I've heard it called a bird in hand. I've heard it called a trail wagon. I don't actually know what kind it is.
Yeah, the Amish have all terms for all their wagons and carriages.
Usually when two back seats face each other, that's a wagonette. We classify those as a wagonette.
Okay. It's got wood wheels with the hard rubber on them, and it's all black.
Right. It's tough, Robin. When you just get into driving, you don't know anything. It's really hard, isn't it, to figure it all
it
out?
And
make, you don't
it
know
is.
If you got it right or don't have it right.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a 20. He's now 21-year-old thoroughbred, and I had thought getting into driving would be a good thing to do, because I have two young daughters. They're now 3 and 5. And I have a horse husband who's a reluctant horse husband. And nobody is really into riding. And I thought, well, if I got into driving, then I could have company while I went out. And because I'm not really in a horsey community. And so I was thinking I would try to train my thoroughbred to drive. And I was searching on forums and asking questions, and I just kept hearing over and over, don't do that, you need to find a trainer. I was like, well, part of it, I definitely understand that point of view now, but when I was looking into it, it's like, well, how did the first person learn how to drive? I mean, they had to self-teach themselves somehow.
They probably went through a lot of carriages.
Yeah.
And obviously you have the flu, too, that's going around, sounds like.
Yeah, I have the crud.
Yeah. Well, now you have your horse husband, you know, obviously I can relate to him and how he feels. Has he grown to be more accepting? Does he like to go with you in the carriage now?
He enjoys the carriage rides, yes. He doesn't like everything that goes along with it. He's a computer engineer, so very similar background to probably what you had, Glenn.
Yep.
And he's accepting of the horses, but he doesn't like the responsibility.
Does he listen to our Horse Husbands episode every year? Because you know we're going to be recording that here in the next week or so.
He never has. I've tried to get him, and I was thinking he would probably be a perfect guest for that episode.
Really? I'm going to have to write that down. I'm looking for one more. So we've never had a very reluctant one, so that would be perfect.
That's a good one.
He probably won't say he's reluctant. He helps me clean the stalls when I throw my back out, and he stacks the hay. But he grumbles about it all the time.
Oh, who doesn't grumble about stacking hay, though? I mean, that's everybody grumbles about that. That's just an unpleasant job.
Does he come up with like all kinds of inventions to make driving better because he's an engineer?
No. I keep trying to tell him that if he would only think of the one thing that everybody needs, then he wouldn't have to go to work anymore. He could just make money by selling that one thing. But he says he doesn't have time to think about stuff like that. He's busy going to work and going to meetings.
How many horses do you have right now?
Right now I have 3.
Oh, see, you went beyond one. See, now you're into 3. I think the limit with a reluctant horse husband, from what I've been able to tell, once you get to 4, there's not going to be any more. You can't hit 5.
Well, I have 2 stalls.
Okay.
Oh, he's already gone past. He's not really reluctant.
That's true.
He would have said,
no way,
2 stalls.
What is it with horse women? If there's 4 stalls, they'll have 5. If there's 10 stalls, they'll have 11. They always have one more than the number of stalls. It doesn't matter how many stalls.
Nope.
Well, my thinking is that since I have larger, I've got 15 by 15 stalls, and one of the horses is actually my half mini baby.
That's the one you told us about.
Winger.
That's the one you told us about. Yeah. Versus the surprise.
Yeah. He's turning out to be really good, but I figured if I just divided the 15 by 15 stall in half, I could fit another one in there.
Well, you know what? If they're minis, you could divide it in 4.
Yeah. So,
right.
Now tell everybody on this show, because that was Horses in the Morning. What happened there? What tell them about your surprise. Wendy hasn't heard that yet.
No.
Okay. In February of last year, I convinced my husband that I absolutely needed to get a miniature horse or a pony, but what I ended up finding was a miniature horse. She was 11 years old on Craigslist. I found her on Craigslist. And just as something for our girls to learn on, because although my thoroughbred is very sweet and easygoing and the standard bred mare is very sweet and for the most part watches where she's walking, they're both over 16 hands tall, and inevitably the youngest would get stepped on because she just walks right up to them and doesn't say anything. And so she got stepped on a few times. And so I said, well, I really would like to have something that I could have them learn on and not get hurt. And so he understood my point of view, and we went ahead and bought the mini mare. And I specifically asked the people, has she been bred? No. I've only had her for a year, and she was supposed to have been bred before I bought her, but she never foaled. And so that was that. And this was a year after supposedly she had been bred. To my knowledge, there were no other stallions or no other minis actually on the property. She was actually being kept with the goats. So I took her home. The lady's 3-year-old daughter actually loaded her in my horse trailer for me. So that this mini mare was perfect. My vet and my farrier were both like, oh, you got a mini? Because they had been around a lot of the minis that are just holy terrors. And both of them, they just loved her. And she was very good, very well behaved. She was rideable. She was a type B mini, so she was like 35.5 inches tall at the withers. She had papers, and she could ride and drive. And she would let my two-year-old at the time lead her around and not take advantage of her. So around, let's see, April, she started losing weight. And I was thinking, well, I obviously don't know how much to feed this horse because I've never had a mini before. So I started increasing her food a little bit, but she was still losing weight. I couldn't get her to, like, hit a plateau. So I put in a few calls to my vet, and we talked, and then he finally was like, well, I'll just plan on coming out because we want to make sure that it's not mastitis, because one of the symptoms she had was her udder was bagging up. And lo and behold, the vet got out of his truck at my house and said, that mare's pregnant. And the 2 days before, I was pretty sure I had felt movement when I was trying to feel around inside, because I was like, my family used to breed Appaloosas, so we had one broodmare, and we kept about 90% of the babies, so we weren't very successful. So I knew what happened to the mare as she got closer and closer to having a baby, and I was seeing the same things in this mini mare. But yeah, the vet told me, like, well, she'll probably fall in the next week or so. Next day, I go down to check on her, and there's a foal in her stall. And
so you had one day. You didn't have time to go out and get the crib or any of the stuff.
I know. And my first thought was, oh my gosh, he is so huge, because you always hear about the mini babies being about the size of a loaf of bread, or like 18 inches tall, just really tiny. Yeah. And he was about 24 inches at his withers.
Oh, wow.
And his mom was 35 and a half at her withers. He was huge.
He percolated for a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no way to find out whether the lady I bought her from had lied to me, or whether she had truly had her year and the mare actually carried for that long, because I read that that is possible.
Is that, have you ever seen that, Wendy?
Yeah, they can go 365 days.
Really? Wow.
You know, maybe the lady just forgot when she got her, or maybe a stallion came to the farm and bred her sometime.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe, like you said, the lady's just lying to you.
Or and me?
Her reluctant horse husband said, you have to get that pregnant mini.
Or it was immaculate conception, one or the other.
Yeah. Well, when the vet came out, he's like, he visibly started when he came around the corner of the tack room and saw the colt. He's like, that is the biggest mini baby I have ever seen. But he said he's really surprised that the mare didn't tear. He said she's bruised, but she's fine. He's like, she's going to be sore. She was a real good mama, and it was interesting to tell my husband, who I just barely convinced to get the mini mare, that, like, I think our mare might be pregnant.
You know what, though?
Oh, no.
You know what, though, as a horse husband who's gone through having babies before, which was something that we hadn't planned on, just like you, you get real soft real quick when you're a horse husband and there's little teeny babies around.
Yeah, he does like him. He does like the little colt.
All of a sudden, it became your husband's, didn't it?
No. My 3-year-old says it's her horse.
All right, thank you, Robin. We'll let you go. We appreciate you being on.
Alrighty. Talk to you guys later.
Well, now coming up, we haven't had her in a while, but Dr. Wendy Yang is going to join us for a traditional Chinese medicine update. Well, hi, Dr. Ying. Welcome back to the show.
Well, hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
So tell us what we're talking. I don't even know what we're talking about today.
I know. I'm going to surprise you. We're talking about hives.
Hives?
Yep. So, yes, we're talking about hives.
Why did I instantly get itchy?
You did?
It's just the like, whenever you talk about hives, you get itchy.
Well, you know, that's really interesting. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but hives sometimes can be caused by epinephrine release.
Oh,
so
really?
Maybe you got nervous. Oh, my God, I'm getting hives. And it actually really did give you hives.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But hives is actually a very interesting disease because it really does show the importance of balance between the yin and the yang, right? Your body needs to stay in balance for you to be normal. And with hives or allergies, what's happening is you are getting an external attack by a pathogen, but your body to fight the pathogen is reacting too strongly, right? So then actually the body's defense mechanism is actually causing just as much problems as the external pathogen. So that's like you're out of balance. So the goal for curing hives or allergies is to get you back in balance. So, Glenn, do you know the mechanism of hives? You know why you get hives?
No.
Well, hives are caused by histamine, a chemical called histamine. And, you know, you've heard of antihistamines, right?
Right. Yep. I take those a lot living in Florida.
During an allergy attack, take antihistamines. So you're trying to stop the histamine, that chemical, from causing its reaction. So histamine is these little, they look like little granules under the microscope. And they are in these cells, these white blood cells called mast cells. And, so the mast cells float around your body and they're waiting for like something to come along, like an attack by a pathogen. And they're just there waiting to protect you. So what happens is your IgE, which is like your immunoglobulins, that you, like an allergen comes in like pollen. Okay. And then your antibodies stick to it. And then it carries it to the mast cell. And when it hits the outside of the mast cell opens up and all this histamine comes out. And the histamine causes the classical inflammatory response, which is redness, swelling, itching, and your blood vessels get leaky, right? And so what the body's trying to do is bring more white blood cells to protect you to that area where you're having the attack.
Okay.
Right? But the thing is, if your blood vessels are leaky, yeah, the white blood cells can come out, but also like plasma, like the liquid part of your blood comes out too, right? So you get swelling and then you get redness and you get a big old bump there. So that's the hive. And then also can itch. Right, because you have all this stuff going on, and then all these white blood cells are there just dumping their contents and those things can cause like pain, the itchiness, you know, and then the body has to spend time cleaning that area up. So hives can last quite a while, especially if you can't give them, if you can't get an antihistamine in there right away. So in Chinese medicine, so that's the scientific process of hives. In Chinese medicine, we call that wind heat, and also can be called external wind. And it's related to the lung meridian, because the lung controls the skin and the pores. It also controls like your hair standing up and down, the piloerector muscles. So what happens is the wind is a pathogen. It's a classic pathogen of Chinese medicine. And the wind brings in whatever, like bacteria, pollen, virus. So wind, heat could be the flu. And I talked about that before on other shows. But when you get hives, this is like also wind, heat. We explain it the same way, but it's gone to your skin. And so the goals we're trying to achieve with clearing up the hives is to get rid of the wind and to tonify the blood. Because in Chinese medicine, we feel like if you tonify the blood, you're going to get...
What's tonify mean?
You tonify, you like make it stronger.
Okay.
So we're going to do acupuncture points to help the blood. And when I say help the blood, it's more like boost the immune system. But you also need to balance it because you need to get rid of the heat because your immune system's actually reacting really strongly. So it's that balance again. You want the immune system to get rid of the pathogen, but you don't want the immune system to hurt the organism. Right?
Right. Yep.
And also, since it's related to the lung, you want to, like a lot of times, I'll work on those points, lung points. And I'll do herbs that support the lung. And some really interesting things with Chinese medicine, with acupuncture, is we have special points that actually do the wind. So some of the points I would use for flu, I would also use for hives, right? Because even though I'm not treating the symptoms, I'm treating that root of the problem. And so some of these points are along the bladder meridian. And one is between your first cervical and your second cervical vertebrae. And also Dr. Swanson, our resident chiropractor, says that that's also a very important adjustment to make when somebody has the flu or hives. And, you know, when you're sick like that, you do. You feel like a pain in your upper neck.
Yep, yep.
And one of the other things you look at in chiropractic is at the thoracic area. To fix hives or lung problems. And that's another place on the bladder meridian. I treat the lung points, which are right there in the upper thoracics. So that's how acupuncture and chiropractic all go together. In acupuncture also, hemoacupuncture, it can be really, really helpful when you have hives. I've talked about hemoacupuncture before with non-sweaters.
Right, right, yep.
So that's... you take a needle and just let a little blood drip out of the vessel. And the reason why that works with non-sweating and with hives or with flu or whatever is because that's all working on the same principle. You need to get rid of the wind and get rid of the heat. And the lung, like I said, controls the pores, your sweat glands and hair, your skin. So that's how that all is similar.
Now, how soon can you expect relief, or the horses expect relief from the hives after acupuncture?
Well, it all depends. I mean, it can be instant. And in fact, one of the interesting things about acupuncture is in people, you actually do get a red wheal. So you can see the little red mark and where you put the needle. And that's how you know you actually are in the correct point. That's called the Dai Qi response. Right. So we actually want to release a little histamine when we're doing the acupuncture, because that's how it works hormonally through the whole body. Like, you're not just pushing on a point, you're stimulating the whole body's system. So with horses, sometimes you do have a little raised bump, you know, with horses or dogs or cats. But because they have fur, you can't always see the red wheal. But so acupuncture already does do a little bit of histamine response, so you can regulate that, you know. So you can see immediate results, or if it could take a couple days or a couple weeks. And in fact, in people, there's a chronic urticaria that actually will last like years at a time. It just keeps flaring up.
And hives are so weird because some horses get little tiny ones and some get big blotchy ones, and I guess they can be anywhere in the body too, right?
Yeah, and a lot of times Where they are, their distribution tells you what kind of allergen it is.
Oh, okay.
For example, if it's a contact allergy, like many horses have a reaction to new shavings. But you'll see that in their legs and on their tummy, like everything that's touching the shavings, right? But when it's like globally over their whole body, or maybe sometimes it's just concentrated on the neck or something, then if it's on their whole body, it's usually a food allergy. You know, so it could be food or drugs that they've ingested. Sometimes if it's like locally, you know, in one place and you don't think it's a contact allergy, it can be from an injection.
I was just going to say, I think that most of our listeners that have seen hives have seen them immediately after a vaccine.
Right.
Yeah.
Be an injection, and right after a vaccine, you'll see it locally in that area, and then that'll spread. Or like an injection is also a bite, an insect bite, because yep. They're injecting the poison into the skin. So that's how that can tell you a little bit. And sometimes the size of it tells you what kind of thing it is. Like bee stings or like ant bites are usually little pinpoint ones, where spider bites tend to be like really big, one big, huge one. You know, so it all depends on that. And the herbal formula that I use for this is actually really, really interesting. It's one of, you know, I guess there's a lot of non-believers I know of, like, you know, Chinese medicine. And we Chinese medicine people are not very good at, like, sitting in the lab doing research. But there is a lot of research that goes on.
You've done your research. They've done it over the last 4,000 years.
Yes, exactly. And likes to say the good thing is it's not a religion, so you don't have to believe it.
That's true. But more and more people are.
Yeah. But this external wind formula, what it does is it inhibits the IgE production, right? So that's the antibody that will stick to the allergen that causes the degranulation of the mast cells. But it also increases a chemical, which is a second messenger chemical, that stabilizes the outside of the mast cells. And what's interesting about this is that, you know, people have been using this forever, right? But in 1999, there was some research in China that, like, peer-reviewed research, like the Journal of Immunology of China or whatever it is, that proved that the main ingredient in this formula actually does reduce histamine. So they quantified that.
Okay. So we actually do have some proof.
We have some proof. And this formula also has tons of cool things in it. And so the histamine reducer is Japanese catnip.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just like this weed that just grows wild.
So you're not going to have hives anymore. Your horses isn't, but the cats are going to be all over them.
Yes. Also, cocklebur seeds, you know, just the common cocklebur.
Yeah.
The ground up seeds that clears sinus congestion and also repels worms. So one of the reasons that it's in this formula is, you know, when these formulas were developed, there was no parasite control. So many of the formulas do have some kind of parasite control in it. And then this is like one of the coolest things about Chinese medicine. It has dried up silkworms.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the silkworm, you know, has different chemicals in it that helps calm you. And then also it helps, calm the skin, like anti-inflammatory. Then it has two kinds of peony. We use that in many formulas, and that's to cool the body and cool the blood. And then it has tumbleweed seeds.
Who would have thought?
Favorite plant in here is called the burning bush. And we just use the root of the burning bush. But do you know the burning bush?
Not the one, only the one in the Bible.
Yeah, well, it's named after the one in the Bible. And what it does is it has this chemical resin. It's actually a really pretty plant with some purpley flowers. But it has a resin on it that if it gets too hot outside, the ambient temperature gets too hot, it can just light on fire.
Really?
Yes.
It's spontaneous combustion bush?
Spontaneous combustion, yep.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Well, very good. So that's hives and how it pertains to Chinese medicine. And we really appreciate, I know you put some work and effort into doing these. And I know that the listeners enjoy hearing about it. And more and more people are wanting to learn about it and are getting into acupuncture and all of that. So I think this is important.
Yeah, I really, you know, my background is molecular biology. So I, you know, oh God, I love mast cells. I love looking at white blood cells under the microscope. So, and I think that when I was in my undergrad in molecular biology, I never thought I'd be doing this. But it is really interesting to see, like, I know the mechanism of the disease, and it's interesting to see how these herbal formulas work. Because I was on the road to Big Pharma.
And look where you ended up, in Sarasota, sitting by a pool talking to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Well, that's it. That's all we have time for today. We're going to be back again next week with another show for you there. And don't forget, you can listen to all the past episodes of the Driving Radio Show at drivingradioshow.com. You can send Wendy an email at wendy@horseradionetwork.com or me, Glenn, with two N's @horseradionetwork.com. If you have any questions for Wendy that you want us to tackle, whether it be training or health or anything else, drop us a note. We'd love to get feedback, and we love to address listener questions as well. We really appreciate all our listeners being on the show today. What fun and what a diverse group. We do have an interesting, diverse group. You know, we don't often think, we see numbers. We know how many thousands of people listen to the show, but you know, we don't really see their lives or what they go through every day. So it's kind of fun to get a little peek into that.
Yeah, I really like that. I think also we're lucky in driving. There's so many different people that do different things.
Right. And drive different things, as we found out.
It's my favorite.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. Have a great week, Wendy. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Remember to keep the shiny side up.